This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Dan Hurley. In entrepreneurial and innovation circles, everyone knows Silicon Valley, Austin, Texas, Route 128 around Boston. Internationally, Israel, which refers to itself as a startup nation, has developed one of the top innovation ecosystems in the world. Last November, 25 members of the Ohio House of Law of Representatives, or the Ohio Legislature, both legislative staff members and legislators, and community leaders visited Israel on a business and trade development mission. Funded by the Ohio Jewish Federations, foundations, and corporate donors, the trip was designed to build deeper connections between Ohio and Israel. Joining us to discuss the value of strengthening business and cultural ties between Ohio and Israel and are the Democratic Representative Bridget Kelly from the 33rd Ohio House District here in central Hamilton County, Republican Ohio House member Bill Reinicke from Tiffin, who represents the 88th Ohio House District centered in Sandusky County, the Director of the Jewish Community Relations Council, Jackie Congito, and the Ohio Jewish Communities Executive Director, Howie Bigelman. If you would like to join the conversation, please call us at 513-419-7100 or email talk at WVXU. We're also on Facebook and Twitter. So welcome, everyone. And let me start, Bridget. How did this come together and how did you end up being one of the members of this delegation? I think there were 11 elected members and the other 25 were staffers and others. So how did you end up being on this?
Well, first of all, thanks, Dan, for having us. And I'm really excited to be here and to have the opportunity to talk about this. And I should say that I represent the 31st House District. The members of the 33rd House District have the pleasure of Alicia Reese representing them. So
Alicia will come and get me.
I was thinking it might be good to cover you and me on that one.
So
this came up. I have the privilege of representing about 17 neighborhoods from Northside to Amberley Village. And so we have a large community of Jewish people in our district. And so it was really a privilege for me to be able to get to go and to learn more about Israel and about the partnerships more. And growing up as a Catholic myself, I thought it was a particular interest to really learn how to deepen my understanding of the faith community, the business community, the entrepreneurial opportunities that already exist between Ohio and Israel and figure out ways to deepen those.
Bill Reinicke, you're from Tiffin. What brought you to this particular delegation?
I was happy to go as well. And my district is 100 miles north of Columbus. And a couple of the issues that we studied over, being cybersecurity and water, are two main interest points for my district. So those were, on top of like what Bridget said, with the historical and the cultural and the religious experience, I really wanted to get more information on the water and how they handle it over there, because they're such good conservationists. And then also the cybersecurity issues, and they just have a country that they have to do these things for to survive.
Well, let's come back to those specifics. The water particularly, I think, is an interesting area that you focused on. Howie, from your point of view, you represent the Jewish Federations of or the Jewish Foundations.
The Federations.
And I think there's eight, is that right,
yes,
in Ohio? And what was the goal here for the Federations?
It was really a goal to have a bipartisan group go. Everyone I've been on of these has always been bipartisan, and to have them go and be together and see Israel up close and personal, and to see areas where there could be partnerships deepened, partnerships created, more cultural and academic and business exchanges back and forth.
Okay, Jackie, what were the areas that you wanted people to see as this got designed, the program for the trip got designed? What was it you wanted to direct people towards?
Well, Israel has a lot really to learn from Ohio, and Ohio has a lot to learn from Israel, and that's really the basis of these missions is mutual exchange and learning. And so we look for opportunities where both of those that two-way traffic can happen. And specifically, and Howie can certainly comment more on the focus of this trip, but specifically, you know, this delegation focused on sort of what it means to be a smart city, the 21st century economy.
What does that term mean to you?
So, right, I think we're all exploring that. You know, Cincinnati is exploring how to do that. Specifically, cities throughout Ohio are exploring how to do that. But, it means thinking about ways technology can help us live more efficient, healthier, more well-rounded, better lives. And so what better place to go than to Israel, the startup nation, where there actually are cities that are completely synced in terms of, you know, technology helping people live their best lives. So really, you know, that was an incredible experience. I know Representative Kelly can speak to what they learned there. And also, you know, the water learnings, the fact, as Representative Reinecke mentioned, that this is the desert is blooming in Israel. And that's by no accident. That's because of intense engineering that's been happening and entrepreneurial engineering to get water where it otherwise wouldn't be. And, you know, also from the mental health perspective, there's lots of learnings that this group focused on. And really, as Howie pointed out, sort of the underlying theme here is to get bipartisan folks together to learn with each other on this and to bring back those learnings and the winnings. And I think that's a particular niche that these missions really focus and do a great job on.
Representative Reinecke, you sitting in the Ohio House, where the issue of infrastructure is out there all the time, and how are we going to develop the infrastructure that we need for the future? When we talk about smart cities and building in technology, was that a helpful set of learnings for you and exposures to see that?
I think the fundamental thing on this whole thing is that as much as technology changes and as quickly as it's going to advance, we've got to put our heads together, you know, bipartisanly and, you know, inter-country, you know, with different countries, with different religions and the whole bit, because all of these issues affect us and the technology is just advancing so quickly. So, yes, I think that was a major motivation for me. I particularly enjoyed, we visited farms, we visited schools, we visited startups, we witnessed some incubators, pharmacies. We witnessed a whole myriad of different types of businesses and, opportunities for us.
Bridget, is there an area that you were particularly impressed by that struck you that you felt like you could bring something back?
Well, we had so many incredible opportunities to learn when we were in Israel, but I think one that really stands out to me is the opportunity to visit the University of Haifa. So in my district, we represent the University of Cincinnati, Cincinnati State, and the off-campus part of Xavier. So I was really interested in hearing how higher education is made more readily accessible to people who live in Israel. So the university we visited was roughly the same size as Cincinnati State, but the tuition was a little bit different than what it is here in the United States.
And how was it different and how much was it different?
$3,000 a year. So, you know, for some people, it's cheaper to send your kids to college in Israel than it is in the United States. But one of the things that I thought was of particular interest is they have a lot of programs where they partner with schools in the United States in terms of research and other things that they have going on. So we actually had the opportunity to hear a little bit more about these projects that were happening. And it's seldom that you hear a group of legislators who aren't completely sure what to ask. But the people that were presenting were so advanced in their field and so far down. I mean, it was really impressive to be able to hear a little bit more about what they're doing in their specific areas of interest.
Howie, the whole question here, we've been focusing on things that maybe have economic impact and technological sharing. There was also a cultural component of this, exposure to the Israeli society. And what were you trying to do there? What was the goal?
Again,
what were some of the specifics that for you were important and you think were particularly impactful for the visitors?
It was a goal for people to see, again, Israel up close and personal, make connections personally so they could come back and do follow-up, not to have that happen in a vacuum. And I think for us, I think seeing some of the cultural differences, in particular, we met with the Israeli Air Force Accelerator Program, and there was a young man who was equivalent of a staff sergeant who had acted as a full colonel in a room with other senior officers, providing innovation and change management within the Air Force. And that kind of startup nation mentality really helped people see how to innovate and why to innovate.
This concept, and I mentioned it, there is a book called Startup Nation. But Jackie, what is it? What do Israelis mean when they say they're a startup nation? Because it has lots of different implications.
Yeah, I mean, I think Israel's track record in innovation sort of speaks for itself. And I think that more than anything, you know, and anyone who's been to Israel can attest to this, the spirit of the Israeli people, which is what Howie was alluding to, is very much one of, if you know, what's the solution? How do we fix it? How do we think outside the box? How do we develop, you put the right minds in a room to solve this problem? They don't think about the hurdles. They think about the end goal and sort of whatever they need to do to work around to get there. And because they are a relatively new country, you know, they have in some ways less institutional hurdles to get past in terms of being able to really get together on some of these hard problems and create an incubation space to make it happen and then to teach others about how they did it. A great example of this was the Preschool Promise mission trip that went several years ago. And this was not a group of legislators. This was actually leaders in the civic and social circles sector, rather, who went as a cohort and learned about how Israel is providing universal preschool. This was prior to, obviously, the ballot initiative passing here in Cincinnati. But they were able to see, you know, some of the parallels, how Israel is innovating in terms of trauma care and how they're getting this done. So it's the right environment to experiment, I guess, is probably the easiest way to put this. And they're so driven to think outside the box there.
You know, that's interesting because there would have been a time when that same thing would have been said about the United States, that you know, all so many things that had been attempted in Europe but couldn't go very far because the imposition of ages of this is how we do it. You came to the new world and things sort of burst forth, and now you're saying Israel is sort of playing having that same experience but from a different perspective. Representative Reinicke, is there a specific thing that you think you could bring back and introduce, or maybe you already have, to the legislature and suggest that the Ohio legislature be looking at something that you learned? And you were mentioning quite a bit at the beginning about cybersecurity, which I think is on everybody's mind at the moment.
Yeah, I think the biggest benefit I got was that we have so many barriers for workforce in the United States that I am hoping that some of the initiatives that I've tried to put in place already with making it more about student purpose and what needs do we need to overcome as far as where we go with our workforce, how do we train for our workforce, how do we give, you know, our students purpose. So I was really inspired with that when we were over there on just how they do that, and they do think outside the box. But we put a self-inflicted barriers on our workforce, and we need to overcome those. And there are so many different options. One of them that they used over there that I thought was very apparent was how they view their military as a very viable entry level into society, but also when you're trained from there, you move on to either, you know, a really good career workforce job or further in the military. I thought there were some really good options.
And in Israel, it's universal service. Is that right? That everybody serves? So that
they had
the military, everybody goes through.
Yes.
They had military commitments, correct.
Right. Bridget, and that question of workforce, something I read, I noticed that one of the visits you made, I don't know how many people made this, that you had a chance to interact with unions. And, of course, your background is working with unions locally. What was the status of unions in Israeli society, the Israeli economy, and what did you sort of take from that?
Well, I really appreciated the opportunity to meet there with Hista Drew, which I would say is roughly the equivalent of the AFL-CIO here. So it is a federation of labor unions. So I think one of the things that's really interesting is, you know, they're democratic unions just like they are here, where their leadership is elected. But I think one thing that really stood out to me was that employers can't interfere with workers who are attempting to organize their union, which is obviously very different than it is here. Unions recognize when 1/3 of the unit registers. And here, you know, you have to have 50% plus one people who fill out authorization cards, and you have to have a union. And contract workers can form a union. So I think that they're in a lot of ways a little bit more advanced than we are in terms of providing people with the tools that they need for the opportunity to build a better life.
Yeah, I'm not sure if that's advanced or is part of the entire sort of rootedness in a different view, really European socialism, and the role of the unions in society, I think, very deep in Israeli culture and the Israeli economy. Are there examples of Israeli companies doing business right now in Ohio?
Stuff in Dayton now, working with some time, they're trying to expand beyond that. There's also some startups that are in and around Columbus and Cincinnati Children's Hospital has a connection with Israel, as well as some stuff going on elsewhere up in Cleveland and in Dayton. A lot of work is going on actually right now with startups and large companies.
What does Ohio, this is sort of speaking to our representatives here, what does Ohio need to do to make Ohio attractive to Israeli companies?
I think it offers a lot right now. The quality of life, the workforce, you know, I think is all there. Part of our goal was to be able to show people that you can skip over New York and Chicago and come to someplace that has an incredible quality of life, a decent living structure, a good workforce, and be really close to a lot of things by truck and train.
Okay. So transportation, affordability.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, to Howie's point, there's a lot happening in Ohio in terms of the ecosystems in different cities that really support certain industries. And Howie and his team, as well as the Regional Economic Development Initiative here in Cincinnati, the Chambers Initiative, are working every day to make those connections and to showcase our region as something that's really a great spot for Israeli businesses to land and to grow.
Is it a case of what American companies would be doing, be interested in the technologies coming out of Israel, or are American companies making investments in Israel and having a presence in the Israeli economy? Sort of, we were just talking about presence of Israeli companies. Is that a two-way street?
Yeah, it's many of the Fortune 500 are doing R&D in Israel,
okay,
in particular. Nationwide Insurance in Columbus just invested in an Israeli startup in the smart mobility space and smart car space. And there's a lot of university exchanges and hospital exchanges.
So the whole smart car, smart city, driverless cars technology, it seemed like there were a lot of interactions with that. Did you get to see some of that, Bridget?
Well, we got to visit a place called Ashdod, which is a smart city, and it is the most planned city in all of Israel. And so one thing that I thought was really interesting and that I kept going back to, so, you know, they sort of have districts where there's, you know, a grocery store for this part of the neighborhood and a laundromat and sort of everything that you need. And so when I got to thinking about, you know, smart and planned cities, I thought about, okay, how are autonomous cars going to work on the hills of Cincinnati? And, you know, how is this going to work in a place where we're not perfectly set up as a grid and where there are pretty
not
significant...
Not perfectly set up?
What are you talking about? Have you been to the West Side? it's a grid over there. It's perfect.
Yeah. Crookshank Road, Devil's Backbone. Yeah, right. Okay, keep going.
So I think, you know, that there are definitely things that we can apply, but I think that the way that it might look is a little bit different here, because certainly with the way that it's set up there in terms of districts, we have neighborhoods here that don't necessarily have the same sort of amenities depending on where you live.
It's interesting. If you go back to the 1948 Metropolitan Master Plan, that concept that you're talking about was there was a conscious effort to meld that with neighborhoods too, and but it just didn't get implemented very well. Representative Reinicke, did you have an opportunity? I mean, Israel is always, because of its situation, is very security conscious, not just from a long distance, but also up close and personal. Were there things that you had a chance to observe that may be useful in terms of security questions?
Well, I thought the security and, again, the water issue, they're both two huge international issues, problems, situations that we need to try to take care of. As far as the security of the country, I thought, wow, I came home thinking we really have relatively few problems compared to how the, you know, watching out for missiles hitting their schools, their homes, and, you know, just the overall border patrols. But we do share a lot of the same issues, like with cybersecurity and, you know, water purification. You know, I think what they conserve is what we waste. And we also had some really good examples of sewage and how to treat, you know, that kind of thing. So I thought they're universal problems that I thought we're both going to be able to share on this.
Well, I think that one of the interesting things in that whole water technology area is the Confluence Initiative here in Southwest Ohio, not only in Cincinnati, but reaching up into Dayton, which is trying to develop water technologies that can then go to market. And I'm hoping that there's been some communication back and forth between what you learned and maybe that whole effort, that whole initiative.
It sounds like a great thing we should take on in our Ohio-Israel caucus.
Yes.
There is an Ohio-Israel caucus?
Representative Reinicke is actually the chair of it. So we just started this year, and I believe we're the first in the nation.
Is this something that grew out of the trip?
I think
There's been a couple legislative trips now, and we have a really great group of people. That I think the 11 of us bonded, wouldn't you say, Bridget? And so then when we connect a lot of these issues to previous groups that went, we're going to try to focus on, you know, with Howie and Jackie trying to get a specific subject matter so we can develop it a little bit further and see how we can play a better role in, you know, helping Israeli-Ohio relations and also just our issues, you know, like water and security and jobs and workforce.
There's a question I think I just have to ask, and that is lots of times people hear about trips that legislators take. And if you're running for office, your opponent almost will always call it a junket. I'm just wondering, do you feel that the learnings, the payback, the implications of a trip like this – and we talked a little bit about the funding. And it sounds like the funding was private here. But do you see a payback for this?
We did financially participate, just for the record, but there's definitely a payback.
I thought it was incredibly educational, and I will say we were booked pretty solidly, as Howie can attest. So we were booked pretty solidly every day because we had a lot to pack into the time when we were there. So, I mean, I think for me, you know, we've already been able to try to establish a relationship between a company that we visited in Israel with UC and with UC, who is working on a cybersecurity program. And so I think that's an example of something that's really tangible that I never would have made that connection had I not had the opportunity to participate in this exchange.
And I think clearly what's come up here over and over again is water. And this is a big area around the world. But even though Ohio, with the lakes on the north and the river on the south, we still face these same issues of clean drinking water and how to handle wastewater. And so I think there's all sorts of potential implications there that would work. So
And, you know, by having, as Representative Reinicke mentioned, by having cohorts that go yearly, you know, between the Senate and the House, this is an opportunity for a group of legislators to develop a collective knowledge, collective contacts, and to really be able to leverage those together. So, you know, the idea is that, you know, you see this change and some of these new ideas come in year by year, but certainly after a number of years, when you have a group that's been and has experienced the same things, you really can get something done.
So is there another trip planned, or is that just being talked about?
We'll see. We hope, certainly hope so.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for coming in today and talking about this experience that you had and sort of the implications and how it's going to play out. Thanks for listening to this broadcast of Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. The producer for today's show is Pete Reitmeier. The assistant producer is Selena Reeder. The technical director is Josh Elstrow. Archives of our programs are available on the website, wvxu.org. I'm Dan Hurley.